You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Yankees manager Aaron Boone, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN New York. Have a great show, boys.
That is right. Thank you, Aaron. We'll talk to you at 4 o'clock. Peter and Don on a big K-show to get you started, a NBA draft K-show. We will get you all ready for everything today, but particularly that NBA draft, which you can hear on our airwaves after
Ray
the K-show. That's right. That's right. It'll be right here on 98.7. The 2022 NBA draft coverage starts at 7 p.m. Don, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Jay Williams just started following me. I just popped on Twitter, and there it was.
Oh, this is great news.
So that's nice.
Real, that's fantastic.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Yeah.
So I followed him back. So well, he initiated
Mike
first,
McDonough follows me on Twitter.
Nice.
I wonder why today was the day.
Don't know.
Jay Will.
Don't know.
So why now, on this day of
I
all days?
I think I've got two-thirds of that show following me. I don't know if Max follows me.
Oh,
I'd have to check, but I got Jay, and I've had Keyshawn since jump.
You've always had Keyshawn, huh?
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Huh. By the way, I got to give a shout out to our guy Michael K. Gave me a beautiful engagement congratulatory shout out. Let's go back to last night's Yankee ball game. Here's Michael K.
I've got to take the time to send out congratulatory wishes to one of my partners on my radio show on 98.7 ESPN and on the simulcast, Peter Rosenberg. Congratulations, getting engaged. He and Natalie, they have not yet set a date, but send out best wishes to them.
Congratulations.
Nice.
And then Cameron Maben went on to ask Michael, did he have any advice? And this is where it gets a little weird. Michael's advice for me on marriage was, quote, be nice.
What's that?
It's sort of interesting, right?
What kind of advice is that?
I know.
It's suggesting that you are known to be not nice?
Well, I don't know if it's that. And also, like,
it's more of an arrangement than a marriage.
You know, I have been married once before, obviously, right? So, like, I can also give myself advice to some degree, right? But I know one thing. Being nice just feels like a very general way to talk about a marriage.
I've heard things like be present.
Sure.
Listen.
Be kind.
Be kind.
But that's a poo-poo
nice.
Take.
I'm sorry. When somebody, be nice. You say that to people who have a history of not being nice.
Well, I didn't even think about it.
Right.
I didn't even think about it in those terms.
Now, like if Marco sometimes gets, he doesn't have anger issues. He just gets frustrated. When he gets frustrated, he starts swinging in like a tantrum sort of way. So every once in a while, Jalen might take something from him and he'll whack her in the shoulder or whatever. And my response is be nice. Meaning right. You're not being nice. You have to be nice. We're going someplace. Marco, make sure, be nice. Drop him off right. At daycare. Be nice.
So it's either that he thinks I'm mean
yes.
Or thinks that I'm a child or both.
No, he thinks you're mean. He thinks you're somebody that's known not to be nice, and I would be insulted. I'm telling you, this engagement announcement, Peter, has revealed a side of Michael that should really irritate you.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
I think it's revealed itself. Whether it's kidding on the square, you know, the joking around, not letting up on a big moment yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's got to read Rick's text. He's got to get his little dig in. Had to get his dig in on the text. And now, you know, be nice. That's the advice. Be nice.
Be nice.
So he has really very little opinion of you in a positive way, and I think it's revealing itself. And I thought about this when Joey Clams called yesterday.
Sure. Well, Joey Clams often makes me ponder things about life.
But here's the thing about Joey Clams, and this is the way you do it. You start with the joke, and you close with the congratulations. What Michael did in his text to you was he opened with congratulations and closed with a joke, which I think that's not the right order.
Yeah.
Get the joke out of the way, and they're hired on all seriousness.
Right.
Like what they do in a roast. They kill you at the roast, but then the last thing they say is, in all seriousness, this is an amazing guy. We all love you. Enjoy your night.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's the way it's supposed to be. But the advice, I've gotten plenty of advice.
Be nice.
Be nice.
That's the answer!
It's really, honestly, it's next level insulting.
Now, by the way, let's get into game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. And obviously the game of life is what we're talking about right now. but we should also talk about the NBA draft. And Don, I think there's a few different angles to approach this with. First and foremost on the mind of our listeners is what the New York Knicks are going to do.
Bing bong!
Are they going to move up and make a play for Jaden Ivey? And I don't know, Don, how strong a take you have on this, what sense you may have, but there's a chance, at least, that we could have an exciting draft night if you're a New York Knicks fan.
I think it's a moral imperative that they move up.
Moral imperative?
Yes.
Please, go ahead.
Well, right now, there has to be serious questions about this brain trust with the fan base. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, 1-800-919-3776. They had a miserable offseason last year. They followed up a 4 seed with an awful offseason that led to them having an awful season. And now you go into this year with the 11th overall pick, not any kind of a place to be as far as improving this team is concerned. There isn't a lot they can do in the offseason, but if they look at Ivy as a guy that not only is transcending, but also a position they haven't had in decades, then you have to make every effort to move up. And everybody but Barrett has to be on the table. And if you don't do it, Mike, if you don't do it, Peter, and because Sacramento doesn't want to do it, well, then what can you do? Maybe Sacramento's going to be defiant and say, I don't care, we love this kid, we're drafting him. But if he goes someplace else, or we find out later the Knicks didn't pull the trigger because they wanted to keep Toppin, they wanted to keep Grimes, they didn't want to make the move, well, then you're starting off what could be a second consecutive miserable offseason for this regime, and completely and utterly obliterating what happened when they were the 4 seed, and really proving to everybody that it was just an aberration.
1-800-919-3776. Knicks fans, what do you want the New York Knicks to do tonight? They're picking at 11 as of right now. Sacramento's sitting at 4. And you just have to think, listen, I'm no draft guru, but based on everything we've heard, Don, I don't know that people think there's an immediate impact, game-changing player that you can get at 11.
Right.
It doesn't feel like that kind of draft, which goes back to your point of it being an imperative for them to move up and make this a meaningful draft for this team. You can't sit where you are if you're the New York Knicks. Last year was a huge step backwards, and I thought Andrew brought up a really good point on our pre-show call about you really don't know yet what you're going to get from Randall. You know, there's two things about Randall are critical. Obviously, last year he was down a peg from where he was the year before, but he was still very good last year, Don. The problem with Randall was really not his on-court performance. It was the complaining and the weird relationship with the Garden fans. That's really right, where things got weird. Because as far as play goes, yes, he was down a peg. But remember, when it came time for contract renegotiation, they didn't overpay Randall. They paid him a decent amount, and they got a decent performance last year. So I do think Randle could be a part of this thing moving forward, but it requires him buying in and learning how to have a reasonable relationship with his fan base.
His issues were, I don't want to say off the court, because that's suggesting that he was a bad guy. It's also suggesting that the things he did weren't on the court. They were on the court. You know, the disrespect to the fans, the not being able to handle the booing, that was a negative. But overall, he had a very good season. Not as good as the year before, but still an outstanding season. Yes, it's showing the stats. 20.1 points per game, shot over 41%, over 30% from three, almost 10 rebounds a game, over 5 assists a game. Those are kind of top 10 player numbers, top 15 player numbers. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just he didn't follow up the year before. And what can also be spun here, Peter, and this was not talked about much during the year when we were killing Randle, the Knicks didn't help him out. Fournier didn't work. Kemba didn't work. Their offseason was awful. And it put a lot of pressure on him. It didn't work out as far as being as good as it was, he was last year. The team ended up falling apart. And they seem to be going in that same direction this year unless you're able to make something happen. And sitting there twiddling your thumbs waiting for cap space and free agents to come here is not working. So the idea now is if you found a player, then you go out and get that player.
1-800-919-3776. Let's get to you guys on the Knicks. We'll start with Ethan in the car. Your thoughts on the Knicks draft situation tonight, Ethan.
You know, hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. A lot of people really want the Knicks to trade up, and I hear that just because of how much time this front office has been there. It feels like we have the assets to do something and make a play. But you also don't want to, like, marry the wrong girl. Sorry for the, you know, pun not intended there. But, like, the point is, hey, like, 6 months ago they were saying that this was the weakest draft we've had in years. So just because it feels like the right time for us doesn't mean that the market is where our assets are worth it. And this front office, though, those signings, you're right, Don, were a bust. I mean, their draft picks have been hits. They've developed talent. They've done a great job with that. And I don't see why they can't do that again with a borderline, you know, NBA player, turn them into something useful, develop some assets somehow. But I feel like trading away guys for a player that we don't know is going to be great or not, and who 6 months ago was saying this is a weak draft, they think it's kind of useless.
Yeah, but you know, but see if you agree with me, Peter. He sound you're GMing, I guess is the word to say, managing scared, because everything's a chance that you take. You're hoping that whoever's there at 11 is going to be good, and you're hoping that the players that you drafted develop into being superstars. My point is, if you look at Ivy as the next great thing, then you follow your instincts, you trade up, and you get him. If you're on the fence about him the way you are, well, then you don't do it. But you can't.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying, Peter? You can't manage scared. You can't be like, well, I don't want to trade up because what if it's a bust? What if it doesn't work out? Well, what if your plan doesn't work out? What if all the cap space doesn't work out? What if your coaching hire doesn't work out? Because right now, Thibodeau also had an awful year last year.
He did.
So you can't sit there and manage scared. If you like that guy, he's a point guard, he's special, you trade up and you get him. You don't sit there and go, oh, he might not be good, Pete. Well, then, you know what? Who falls at you at 11 might not be good.
And let's go to Eric on Long Island, who also wouldn't trade up for the fourth pick. Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, Peter, congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Eric.
Welcome. My thoughts are, I first off, we don't really have anything other than really future draft picks to trade to get up to four, because you'd think the leap from 11 to four would have to be, you know, for a significant amount of either prospects or good players or future draft picks, in which we don't really have that many good players to trade. I would imagine they would want future draft picks. My thoughts on it are if R.J. Barrett was a definite superstar and he was a number one and you could be sure of that, then why not go for it? But he's an iffy Robin, in my opinion. He's not, you know, he's had one good year. I don't think you could say he's definitely a star, and I wouldn't want to trade all of our future draft picks and then in 2 or 3 years be trading away picks that we could have had, you know, to build a team.
Yeah, Okay.
I don't know.
Well, what
it
if
it seems like a leap? I don't know who you would trade from 11 to 4.
But again, Eric, you're kind of managing scare too, because what if Ivy becomes the next, you know, Derrick Rose? What if he becomes the next great guard in this league, and you're going to look back and go, boy, we could have traded for him, but we wanted to hold on for picks later on, and those didn't work out. Again,
yeah,
I don't know how they feel about him, but if they feel that he's special, the way Ernie, of course, he felt like Eli was special, then you do it.
But
you
here's
can't
my question.
Be, you can't let's be scared that it's not going to work out.
Let's say he is Ja Morant, right? Let's say he's okay. That good, and he's a superstar, and he's all that. You know, Ja Morant has a ton of good players around him, right? I mean, they have Bane, they have Brooks, they have a lot of good players. So my worry would be you have Ivy, and then you traded away all these draft picks that you could have been surrounding someone. You know, my point is we don't have enough talent to be just focusing on one person.
Well, Peter, by Eric's logic is that don't marry Natalie. Somebody better might come down the road. What are you doing, man? You don't know what's around the corner. No,
right.
He found what he wanted, and he got engaged.
Yep, pull the trigger.
If they believe Ivy's the guy, and again, I don't know, but reports are that he wants to be a Knick, the Knicks want him, then go out and get him. What are you waiting for next year? If you could, so you're telling me you wouldn't want Ja Morant because, well, we wouldn't have anybody to build around him. You got to get the guy. They don't have the guy. And so you're not going to get the guy because you're afraid you're not going to be able to get other guys to play with the guy? Barrett's good. Randall's still good. So you're going to bypass him because you're going to want to wait for assets later on? I like a lot of guys. God, how many times are you going to kick the can down the road?
And is there not a world in which you get the right player in this draft? Maybe it's Jaden Ivey. You get that point guard. And all of a sudden, you take a look around next year and you see a happier Julius Randle. You see another year of development from R.J. Barrett. And Ivy turns out to be an absolute stud. And now you go, oh, we actually now have our three. We have something here. Because I do think, I believe in RJ. I mean, that part's important. My starting point is I believe in RJ. I do think, listen, I understand he's not Ja Morant. It didn't happen overnight. But he is still very young and has proven to be really good.
And you know what's going to happen in free agency? Do you think people want to go to Memphis, or do they want to go play with him? Right? Do people want to go to Cleveland, or do they want to play with LeBron? Like, so the idea is get the players, and then people will want to come, because guess what? The Garden and New York City is kind of attractive, but nobody wants to come here because there's nobody to play with. And if Barrett ends up getting better and Randall stays the way that he is, and you can get a better Westbrook, possibly, then Peter, I'm convinced. This Knick fan base is scared. They know that making a move, because it usually doesn't work out, so they'd rather just stay pat and not fail. These callers are acting scared, Peter, because history tells them it's not going to work out.
Let's go to Owa in Brooklyn.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Peter, congratulations. Great news.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Listen, I really disagree with Don and what you're saying here. And in fact, I think it's like exactly the opposite of what this Knicks management is trying to do. And they're not managing scared. I think they're trying to break old patterns and manage smarter. And I think that when you're trying to build a team, you have to be smart about the players that you're trying to add to the roster. 2 years ago, they drafted Obi Toppin, who potentially could be good. He showed flashes at the end of the year that could be a really good NBA player, but he's the same, plays the same position and has much of the same skill set as Julius Randle. And so how do we know who Obi's going to be? Because we already have a player who's very similar in Julius Randle. And I'm afraid that Jaden Ivey, who could be a good NBA player, I think he's kind of athletic. His shot is kind of questionable. He came up pretty empty in the NCAA tournament. So I'm not sure he's the guy. And same thing, he's very similar to RJ Barrett. So I think that you're right. Like, they need to be aggressive. They need to try and build the roster. But I don't think trading up for Jaden Ivey is the move.
Well, listen, Don, that's a fair take also.
If you don't like him, then I understand
if you're not
what you're
into
talking
him,
about.
If you think he's RJ Barrett light, then no, that's not right. What they need. They need a real point guard.
If you don't like the player, then I understand why you wouldn't want to make the move.
Right. Your issue is you like the player and you're just scared to take the risk.
You're scared because what if he doesn't work out? Well, that's the way life is, man. Anybody could be a potential bust, but we're hearing special things. It's a position of need. Now, I'm not saying that you give up, first-round picks from here to Armageddon, but if you can give up some of the assets that you have here to go out and fill a position of need and somebody that's projected to be very special, I don't know why you wouldn't try to do that because you're afraid, what if he doesn't work out? Well, what if anything doesn't work out? We're waiting for these players. And he just mentioned Toppin's probably somebody you would have to give up. And you were kind of talking, that caller was talking negative about Toppin, saying, well, they already have that. Well, then it wouldn't be a tough thing to give up then, would it?
Let's go to someone who's watched a lot of Jaden Ivey. He says,
okay.
Chris on Long Island. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hi. How are you doing today? I've been listening to your show first time, long time. And I have a child who goes to Purdue, so I've watched every game this year.
Okay.
Most of the games last year. I think Jaden Ivey is a great college basketball player, but I just don't know when I watch him if I see that next step. And I know that the Knicks are going to have to give up a lot for him, and I just don't know if it's really worth it. This season there was progression, but there was a lot of times when you watch the game, you're like, I just can't believe he did that. So I just can't see giving up what they would have to give up to move up 7 slots. And I don't even know if he goes it for. I mean, everybody's saying how strong of a candidate he is. I just don't know.
Well, you think he might go before 4?
I don't even know. If it, maybe he goes 5 or 6, or I don't know. I just, like I said, I watched.
Well, either way, Chris, he's not going to last till 11. And, and like the last caller, Chris, and listen, I never saw him. I don't think Peter has seen him. You've seen him. You have an opinion. You don't think he's worth it. That's fine. But there are a lot of people that believe that this kid's special, wants to be a Knick, and if the Knicks believe he's special, and that's how I prefaced this when we started the show, Peter. If the Knicks believe that he is a special player, then you pull out all the stops to get him. Now, if they're like Chris, if they're like the previous caller, and they see holes, they're not sure, then don't do it. But don't not do it because there's no guarantees. No pick is guaranteed. But Peter, the experts seem to think that this is a really special player in a position of need. When have they had a player like this? Or potential to get a player like this? And we don't know what they would have to give up. Moving from 11 to 4 is not like moving from 11 to 1. So can we at least see what the package is first before we just say, oh, we have to give up too much?
That's what she said. Let's go to...
That was too easy.
That's also what she said.
I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo.
Let's go to Ike on Long Island. What's up, Ike?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show. Love you guys. Peter, congratulations.
I met you one time
back at, I think it was the Cop Shop reunion years ago out here in Long Island, man. But just great news for you. Happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
So real quick, I think the wrong approach is talking about building all of this with Randall. I think Randall is the problem. I think that Randall should have never came here in the first place, but that's need to be said now. When he was on the court, his plus-minus was an issue. His chemistry problems were an issue. When he was off the court, we got a chance to see Toppin and the young guys move, to see creativity with the offense and with the defense. So if we're talking about trying to get somebody that wants to be here who's a point guard, I don't understand why you would want to have Randall around to build with him instead of building with the young talent that we do have. Now, I think we have talent. Everybody seems to think we only got one piece, but that's just me.
I think the reason that Randall, Peter, is not being brought up is because I don't think Sacramento would want Randall in the state that they're in right now. They would want younger players because they're in a full rebuild. They're way behind where the Knicks are right now. But if you had to give up, well, let me ask you, if you had to give up Randall for it, would you do it?
It depends how strongly I feel.
You want him.
If you want him?
You want Ivy. You want him. You think he's special. You want him. Yeah, then like I said, anybody but Barrett. So if they want Randle, okay.
Yeah, I think you're probably okay with it. I mean, listen, I'm seeing it differently now. At the end of the season, we all would have said, yeah, move on from Randle if you need to. It's okay. Listen, Randle's very good. If the bottom line is this. If you think Ivy can change this team, then yes. Because we've had Randle here the last couple of years. And he could be a nice piece, but he's not changing this team. So if you feel this is someone who can change the team, then yes, you're willing to move on from anyone except RJ, I would believe. And that's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. More of your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. Of course, we'll talk NBA draft all day long. And I have a take, Don. I want to tell you when we get back.
Hold your horses. Huh? Hold your horses. Okay. Don't let the audience think that this is a pregame for the NBA draft that's coming up at 7.
Well, I was still going to get
Aaron
there.
We got Boone at 4. We got Mets to talk about. Of course, Yankees-Astros is huge.
Well, I was going to tease my team.
I don't know. I didn't like where you're going. I didn't like,
just take
I didn't
the
like your tone.
I was absolutely going to say that we have Aaron Boone coming up at 4 o'clock. And, of course, we got to get into the Yankees win last night, which was a beautiful – it really was sort of a beautiful, exemplary win. One of those wins that good teams get. That's how I felt about last night's win for this team. It's just one of those games that when you're a quality baseball team, you pull out. And by the way, Michael had one of the most beautiful calls of the season, so we got to relive that. And yes, and of course, Aaron Boone, 4 o'clock. But your call's next, 1-800-919-3776. And I'm going to give you a theory that I have about the NBA draft on. It's a bit of a hot take that I think is very
you guys got to hear this.
I think it's very, very strong. I got some disagreement. I got some strong disagreement on the pre-show call.
Slack-jawed would be a way to describe John Winthrop.
Yes, and Andrew somewhere in between. And Don was actually surprising a little bit more with me.
I was, you know, when are you going to realize that nobody has your back more than I do at this entire station?
You know what? You couldn't be more. It's been proven certainly in the last 24 hours. More Peter and Don next on The K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees, joining us. Yeah, 4 p.m. Very excited to talk to him today. I thought last week, Don, was our excuse me, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. I think last week was our best conversation so far with Aaron.
That was good. A lot of information. It was fun.
We're starting to get the comfort zone. You see what I'm saying?
Now, it helps that this is the best team that we've ever been associated with a weekly. We've had weeklies before, and with Jet coaches, and the Jets have had some good seasons with Rex. We had them on, but not the kind, 51 and 18. My goodness. So there really hasn't been, much aggravation he's had to go through. But listen, there's been things we've
he's
disagreed
not
with and had fun with, and it's a good interview.
But he's not in the Todd Bowles spot.
No, he's not in the
Adam Gase spot.
The Adam Gase spot was,
that was his own doing. He made that spot.
So that he didn't want to do it the next year.
That's right. And stuck poor Sam Darnold in.
Yeah.
Now, and remember when Adam stopped doing it, but Sam kept going?
Yeah, it was Sam. That's why I support Sam.
I got love for Sam.
100%. I have a lot of love for Sam.
He was a real one. All right, I said I had a take here on the NBA draft.
Yes.
Here it is. You can hear the NBA draft right here at 7 p.m. Coverage begins. Mm-hmm. So we want you to listen, and it's going to be tremendous. That being said, the NBA draft on has lost such luster from where it used to be. This, to me, and here's the take. To me, Peter Rosenberg, the NBA draft was the marquee draft in all of sports.
That's bold.
I did not care about the NFL draft. And I really don't recall it culturally being a huge deal for people my age until into the 2000s. When you get into, like, you know, by the time we get to the early 2000s, 04, 05, it started, to me, becoming a huge thing to people. And now over the last, I mean, you can kind of track it. They started simulcasting the draft on regular TV, not even just cable. What,
on
Don,
TV.
In the last 5 years they did that?
Yeah.
So now it's become literally an ABC vehicle. It's crazy. And I think the last 12 years or so, the NFL draft has been dominant. But now, with the amount of one-and-dones and kids who don't stay in college and less relationship with players, we no longer care about the NBA draft the same way. And I'm just here to remind you, there was a time when it was the draft. And when you think about, and I'm gonna date myself a little bit, sure. When I go back to the drafts that I remember well, starting with David Robinson in 88-89, going on to the Fab Five, the UNLV kids, okay, the Leitners of the world, certainly Shaq. That era, Don, the NBA draft was a huge deal. I remember I would know everybody in the top 20 picks. It was a given. You knew all of these players. I think the draft for the NBA has really taken a step back as far as being a marquee event.
I disagree and agree with you. The latter part, I completely agree with you. It's much different than it was. Because it was a big deal. I remember I went to the draft when it was at the Meadowlands. And you knew every pick in the first round, where they went to school. Not just because they were talked about before the draft, but because you followed college basketball. And these guys stayed 4 years for the most part. Maybe they left a little early, but they stayed a couple of years. Just came off the NCAA tournament, which everybody watched, and you followed these players. Like, you knew these players, whether they were talked about before the draft, you watched them play. Now with all these one-and-dones, you barely even got to know them, and now they're getting drafted. There's a lot more European players that nobody has really ever seen. So I'm with you there. It's not nearly what it was when you could basically tell every first-round pick where they went to school, and maybe even some of the second-round picks. But the football draft, no, it was never close.
You don't, hold on. Don, there was a time when the NFL draft wasn't on the first.
No, we're going back to the 80s when it was like on a Wednesday. I get it. But it's been on ESPN for the last 30 years.
So you're saying from the second the NFL draft moved to the Thursday got televised.
Once it got to Saturday, which was probably I know the reason I know this is because me and Gordon Damer actually went and bought it on VHS. The 83 draft, the one with Kelly and Marino and Elway, that was on a Wednesday, okay? Crazy. So that was 83. But by 80, probably a couple of years after that, by 85, 86, it was on Saturday afternoon. And since it's been on Saturday afternoon on ESPN, it has not been touched.
88, it moved.
Okay, 88. So that's a long time ago. That's 34 years ago. So it has not been touched in 30 years.
I'm telling you, in my world, and I was not, even though our listeners think I'm just some yokel who showed up and decided that I'm gonna try a sports talk radio show. I was a sports obsessed kid.
Right.
With the team that had just won the Super Bowl recently.
in the early 90s, man, I was only watching the NBA draft. Never even thought about the NFL draft. Didn't care. I wanted to know where, you know, Rocket Ishmael went. You know, where did Desmond Howard get drafted, the biggest stars? But as far as it being, like, tune in, for me, it was always the NBA draft.
Now, listen, I'm a bad person to ask because I'm way more of a football guy than a basketball guy. But the guy to ask is Andrew. Because Andrew, it's one and two, right? Andrew, it's football, basketball, right there.
Yeah.
So you're the perfect
person. I almost
to
don't
ask.
Even like
was there ever a time the NBA draft was bigger than the NFL draft?
For
in
the
your life?
For the country or for me personally? Because for me personally.
I mean, just how about for you? Obviously, if the Sixers had the first overall pick or something, but I'm just saying in general interest around your friends, around the community. Was there ever a time the NBA draft was bigger than the NFL draft?
So for me and my group of friends, yes, I would say there probably was a time. But I felt like we were outliers. Like even then, I felt like the NFL draft was probably bigger overall. But for me personally, I was just more into the NBA draft, probably because I was more into college basketball than I was college football. So my familiarity with the players being drafted was way greater for basketball than football. Also, I thought the NBA draft was just an easier watch. The NFL draft it used to be 15 minutes between picks. It was multiple days. It almost felt overwhelming. Whereas the NBA draft was kind of just like a tightly packaged one night event, 5 minutes between picks, quicker. So yeah, for me, I mean, like the 1996 NBA draft when it was Iverson, Camby, Ray Allen, Kobe. I mean, that was a monster draft. That was like I remember that draft well. That was a huge event. And I don't know if I remember any NFL draft reaching that kind of level for me growing up. But I still, having said all that, I still believe that the NFL draft was the bigger thing between the two. I just like the NBA draft more.
That's fair.
You hear that, Don?
No, there's only
I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy.
I just feel like, and I'm not going by the last few years because it's not even, it's such an event now. But I just remember because 88, I remember following it when it was like on a Wednesday on ESPN. You know, Hub Arkish would be there with Dr. Z and they'd be giving you picks and stuff. I can't believe they thought it was a good idea to have it like on a Wednesday afternoon, but we weren't forward thinking back then. But when they moved it to Saturday in 88, so I was 20. Like it was my day, and the Giants were good, so it wasn't like I was the Giants or had the first overall pick, but like I knew all these players and who was going. These quarterbacks, that's the thing, where quarterbacks are going. I it's a bold statement, Peter, but you know what also makes the draft interesting, and of course our coverage will begin right after this show at 7 o'clock on 98.7 ESPN New York, is the activity of not so much who's going to get picked, but are there going to be moves. Will the Knicks trade up and who they give up to get them? Sacramento make this move with somebody else?
Speaking of which, let's go to Omar in Brooklyn.
Oh, where have you been? Where have you been? Before you even get going,
right.
Where have you been?
How are you guys? No, I've been here listening, but I've been busy working two jobs. And when the Knicks season is over and the way Buffalo lost,
I was worried about you, Omar.
Yeah, I was worried too.
Because we care about you. I don't know if you care about us, but we care about you.
No. I listen. Sometimes I call. It was all busy. And secondly, the way Buffalo lost after that, it was a
tough. Yeah, you had to disappear for a while.
Yeah.
I get it. All right, so what do you want to say about the draft, though?
No, I think I called in. I was listening to you guys. And I think Don is 100% right. If you believe in a player, you go get it. And Knicks have a lot. For the first time, Knicks have done in years that they have lottery picks, young players. And let me include, people can say R.J. Barrett is untouchable. I am putting, even I was not a fan of Iman Quickly running the point guard show. Last 35 games, what he has done. In today's league, Iman Quickly is the player that is going to fortune. Iman Quickly is untouchable with R.J. Barrett. It is not going to. You are not going to give Iman Quickly for Ivory rather than Julius Randle. No, I am not. Julius Randle has a more compass season. He has been more proven. But Iman Quickly, young asset with R.J. Barrett are the two untouchables in this team. Iman Quickly is untouchable. And if you include anybody to get Ivory, and they are going to do it. If they believe in a player, that depends on how they feel inside. Do I believe in Ivory? I think the the Knicks fans are hesitant what has happened in the past, but
scarred.
The Knicks fans do and believe that they're hesitant that the guys that have picked so many players up to now has not. And people are sleeping on R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett is 20 years old. R.J. Barrett is going to be an all-star this year. Mark my word, R.J. Barrett is an all-star this year. But I don't think R.J. Barrett is number one. He is the maximum limit to him. He's probably number two. So, and Ivory, I think, can be number one. That's why I pick him. So if the Knicks management believe, and I think they believe it, there is a speculation going on that Knicks are going to go high up to get him. I think they are making a trade. Either it's going to be four or five. They're going to make sure that is going to be happen up to the fourth, that Sacramento does it or not. If he's not going to get picked, they are going to give everything except RJ. They know that they are not giving Iman quickly. RJ Barrett and Iman quickly are untouchable in this team, and they're going to give everything else, picks, whatever, to get Ivory. Ivory. The Knicks have three young stars in Iman quickly, RJ Barrett, and Ivory, and we run the show from there.
Omar, thank you. You
no,
said
he
a
got
lot.
Going there. I was afraid the Bills broke him.
No, he's back. In fact, he was back to the point of seemingly being incapable of stopping. Let's get into today's starting lineup, brought to you by Nissan. Yankees Astros 7:05 on YES. And this is okay. I'm very Oh, the Yankees starting lineup, of course. Sorry, thank you. I'm new. The Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Ready for it, Don?
Yes.
DJ LeMahieu leading off.
Mm-hmm.
Playing third. Aaron Judge batting second, playing center.
Okay.
Anthony Rizzo batting third and playing first. Giancarlo Stanton, the DH, batting cleanup. Torres playing second, batting fifth. Hicks playing left, batting sixth. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, shortstop, batting seventh. Trevino catching at the eighth spot. And lastly, Joey Gallo playing right.
All right.
I'm sorry, Don. I didn't give you roulette opportunity.
No, you did not.
I apologize. We'll play that. We'll play not Russian roulette.
Well, I don't want to play Russian roulette. It seems like,
it seems
if you
like
you
that.
Were going to make it out, it could be a,
right.
God.
But that's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea, a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show, the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. More of your calls next. Aaron Boone, 4 o'clock. Peter and Don on the Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Donald, you teased it going to break. You got a Shams bomb and a Woj bomb.
Let's go with the Shams Sharania bomb.
Okay.
Who says, sources, Kevin Durant is monitoring the Brooklyn Nets situation and considering options with his future. This now opens the path for Kyrie Irving to proceed on finding a new home via opt-in and trade. Now, I'm a little confused by this, Peter.
Me too. I'm glad.
Because, all right, what does it mean, Kevin's monitoring the situation? Does that mean Kevin has given his approval to let the Nets do whatever they want with Kyrie? Or is that saying, okay, go and do what you want with Kyrie, and when you're done, you're going to have to deal with me because I'm going to want out? Him monitoring the situation, what does that mean?
Literally the exact same thoughts I had.
So I was a little confused by that. Now, we got a Woj bomb.
I see.
Maybe the Woj bomb will help us.
ESPN sources, if Kyrie Irving can't reach an agreement to stay with Brooklyn, he has a list of teams he'd like them to consider on signing and trades, including Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavs, and 76ers.
It's not fair.
None of those teams have cap space to sign him without Nets help. Does that clear it up at all for you?
No.
Well, the fact that Woj is now diving into Kyrie leaving, I guess, is the monitoring of KD thinking, all right, let's see how we improve ourselves with this. So I'll allow you to deal Kyrie away,
yes.
But if I'm not happy with what you get back in return,
yes.
I might leave. That's the way I look at it.
Yes.
After the Woj tweet.
The monitoring it means. Monitoring means the door is open. He's now open to you moving Kyrie.
Right.
That is so that speculation that we've been having for a little while, I would say that is true. KD is now cool with Kyrie being moved. However, whether or not he wants a future with Brooklyn will be determined by how they move Kyrie. That Don, I think
right.
That's it.
Because they're going to need the Nets help to send him to these places. Now Kyrie's got to come back to me a little bit. Does he really think that the Nets are going to trade him to the Knicks? Because what do the Knicks have? And also, do you really want to have somebody in your division get better? 76ers, the same thing. Now, Lakers, Clippers, Mavericks, you probably don't care because he's out of the conference. But what do those teams have? Do the Knicks have anything that the Nets could feel like they can continue moving forward without Kyrie? What do the Lakers have? Westbrook?
Davis?
Well, now you're talking. That's probably a way to get KD to stay, right?
Yes. Yeah. KD's staying for Anthony.
You know,
Davis,
but getting, you know, Toppin, Grimes, and a pick from the Knicks is probably not going to get KD to stay. Plus, how are you going to make this work? So, because none of them have the cap space. So when they say the Nets help, that means taking on salary to allow Kyrie to fit, correct? Am I reading that right, guys?
I believe so.
So does that mean getting Randall?
I was going to say, do you think, Andrew, Randall could be of interest to Brooklyn? They don't have a Randall exactly on that team.
I mean, it's not an upgrade from what they currently have.
No, but I think
you don't think so. Talent-wise, it would be an upgrade anyway. I mean, not
losing Kyrie and gaining Randall.
Well, no, of course not. But if you know the situation with Kyrie's a wrap anyway, and you know you want to move on from Kyrie, and you want a guy who's going to play in 70 games, which at least that's one thing you can certainly count on from Randall. Could it be worthwhile to get Randall and something for Kyrie? I mean, when you look at their other big men and what they do, you know, KD is the only big man real scorer they have. Blake Griffin, I don't even know what involvement he's going to have moving forward. No. Andre Drummond's not an offensive threat in a real way.
I should mention that Woj had an extension to that tweet after mentioning all the teams. And again, the teams were Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavs, and 76ers. He says those are teams who Irving has interest in. But he isn't necessarily a priority for all of them, sources say. So there may not necessarily be any interest from these said teams.
Okay, gut feeling. You think there's any chance something happens with Kyrie tonight?
Well, if it involves picks, then I guess you would have to have it happen tonight. I mean, there must be, well, obviously people are all gathered at the draft and all that, and that's why there's things being talked about. But, right, if you're going to get picks, then I think you'd want to make those picks rather than have somebody select the player and then you get that player, or if it's picks in the future. But if it's any picks involving this year's first round, I would think it would happen to happen tonight.
I'll tell you what, I just wish there was some place you could listen to this draft on radio, you know?
Ray Rowe. You know what? I have news for you.
Please.
Right after this show on 98.7 ESPN New York, full draft coverage. And the point man for it all is Alan Hahn.
Hahn. I got to tell you, it's a pretty cool gig for Hahn.
He's perfect for it because he's so smart and he loves basketball. And he will bring a talk show element to it, which I love. Because I don't know if you know this, a lot of the analysts in the world, a lot of the people that work in the business, like covering teams, like they don't like the talk show aspect. I like the talk show aspect because it's how I earn my living.
Not sure.
So yeah. I like speculation.
You know why? I like
throwing some things around.
You know what? The last few days I've been having a real appreciation for our gig. I was having this conversation with Ebro this morning. We were talking about J.J. Redick, Kendrick Perkins, Orlovsky, and Jay Will. Okay? And we were talking about how those guys really, it seems like, with the gigs they have, need, especially Reddick, certainly, the guys who show up on First Take a lot in particular, you just have to have hot takes on everything. And that is a tough and honestly, in a lot of ways, not fun thing to do day after day after day. Now, if you're Stephen A. Smith and you're just an absolutely magnetic personality that makes people love and hate you constantly, you can do it every day. And even Stephen's going to have his days where he has to like kind of manufacture stuff, I'm sure. But Don, I love that we get to do a show where we can have nuance, and sometimes the answer can be, I don't know. I'm not 1,000% sure.
We can kind of just talk it out.
You have time. You know, we have time to work through.
See, that's the deal. Like television, you just don't have the time. You've got like 4 minutes and you got to belt it out. Here we can kind of, you know, get the information and then kind of work through it together. And that's certainly what happened here. Now, this could also be KD threatening to leave to just convince the Nets to just keep him. But then the Nets might lose him in free agency, and then you get nothing in return. But is that worth it for the Nets? To say, no, you know, you're going to stay. And you're going to play, and we're going to try to get another championship, and then we'll deal with it after.
1-800-919-3776. Gil's been on hold in Manhattan to talk Knicks for a while. What's up, Gil?
Hi, Gil.
Yeah, hi. I want to talk about the Knicks, but first I want to react to the conversation about the draft you had since then. So, I mean, I've always watched both the NFL and the NBA, so I can't really address that. But I can say I think the combination of one and done and the current CBA is a problem, because teams have to decide after about 3 or 4 years whether they're going to re-up people before they have a fully developed product. So I think that hurts the trust the process. I mean, it worked for San Antonio, Golden State, but obviously Philadelphia was more questionable in terms of that strategy, right, of developing players. And so I worry about the young core with the Knicks because they're going to have to decide really early.
Good point.
As far as the trade, you know, some trades are good and some are bad. So, like, you know, I would trade a vet. I'm confused about what Sacramento wants. Like, I've heard they want to win now, and that belies like what seems to be being offered the last 2 days. So, like, of the young core, I mean, I would give up one, but maybe not two. I prefer keeping Toppin and Grimes, actually, to Quickly and McBride. I would also consider a trade to 5 through 7 if it's a much better trade for the Knicks. And also look at smaller deal, like a deal with instead of the 4th pick, getting Davion Mitchell, who they drafted last year, who's a defensive point guard. I think they need an offensive and a defensive point guard anyway.
Right.
So maybe, you know, Davion Mitchell and then Jalen Brunson is a better combination than, you know, Ivy and Brunson.
Here's what just makes me think about, like, I'm not going to sit and tell you I'm any kind of expert on Ivy, but here's what I would say about that position, Peter. You have an older than dirt Derrick Rose at point guard. And look how hurt they were when he left, when he got and was injured. Like, even somebody at his advanced age just made the team so much better. Imagine getting somebody young and somebody that can make things happen and have him here for a decade. They haven't had that in forever. You saw how they went off a cliff after Rose got hurt. So can you imagine what somebody young can do? God, do they need a point guard?
In the worst way.
I mean, really, honestly, this is almost
it's been year after year.
It's like Jet quarterback territory. Seriously.
No, it is. It absolutely is. We've been this. It feels like it's an every year thing. Let's go to Brandon in Brooklyn. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What up?
Hey, Don. Hey, Pete.
What's up,
Pete? Congratulations, man.
Thank you, man.
I just want to say about the NFL and the NBA draft. I feel like, you know, Pete, you know, I'm a part of the same generation, the hip-hop generation. I'm a little younger than you. I'm 38. But I just recall, like, just the NBA draft being such a big deal with the NBA lottery and, you know, just the showcase of that during the playoffs and then right after the playoffs, the whole pageantry of the NBA draft and just knowing the players for March Madness. And, you know, not even the big names, like the little names like Ed O'Bannon, the Iowa Candies, the Bust, you know, Yekador Reyes, guys like that. And I just felt like it was just such a bigger thing for us in our generation than the NFL draft. That's all. I just wanted to put that to myself.
Thank you, Brandon. Ballard hit me up and said the same thing. Ballard's a guy now who's a huge NFL draft guy.
Right.
But he was like, man, when I was a kid, I knew every NBA player. And Ballard said, I thought this was interesting to hear. He was like, I watch a lot of college ball, and I still don't really know these guys.
Yeah, there's nothing to get excited about because it's such a hit or miss. You know, you're talking about a guy coming out of school, played 3-4 years in college, maybe won a bunch in college, played a lot in the NCAA tournament, and you look forward to getting them because they were stars. Some of them are household names. And now these are guys, you know, European guys we've never seen play before, guys that maybe played, we saw maybe for 5 minutes. I mean, Peter, you're a big college, or Andrew's a big college basketball guy. Are you sitting there? How much are you watching Wisconsin basketball?
That much. Exactly.
No. I mean, no, thank seriously.
You. Somewhere between indifferent and good.
Right. And so, really, it's...
Thank you. No, it's a totally different thing. But by the way, it's going to be a great draft tonight. You can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN. Time for today's starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. We'll get into the Houston Astros lineup for the big Astro-Yankee affair tonight in Houston. H-Town, if you will, Don. Here it is. Altuve leading off and playing second.
Yankee fans love him.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I got to tell you something when you're done. Very funny.
Brantley, the DH, batting second. Bregman, third baseman, batting third. Alvarez, the left fielder, batting cleanup. Tucker, the right fielder, batting five. Yuli Gurriel, the first baseman, batting sixth. Mauricio Dubon, the shortstop, batting seventh. Jose Siri, the center fielder, batting eighth. And Martin Maldonado, catching and batting ninth. And, Don, very important that I should tell you, today's starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com.
Yeah, that's not the greatest bottom of the lineup for Houston. That's going to be a problem for them. But I felt bad for Buster because he didn't know any. He wasn't thinking. So he's doing Sunday Night Baseball, and he tweets out that Altuve is going to be mic'd up for the game. You know, it's like, it was just ripe of, like, him being wired. You know, like you know what I mean? Like, he just wanted to let the audience know that, hey, we're going to hear from Altuve. And then I was just reading the timeline of just, it was low-hanging fruit, right?
Oh yeah, Yankee fan destruction.
So the jokes about, oh, he's wired already, and you know, how are you gonna be able to put the mic on with the wires, with getting the signs. It was just very, very funny. It was just it was a tough moment there.
Shout out to Yankees Twitter, which will be on fire tonight, game one of this Astro Yankees series. Speaking of the Yankees, let's talk about that big win last night next on. We gotta play this gorgeous call for Michael Kay. I gotta tell you,
he's in a nice groove here.
Yeah, I don't like to give him too much credit, but he was in a groove last night.
You know,
it
was such a good call. We gave him the day.
Yeah, I said, you know what, take the day. So we'll talk about last night's game and much more coming up next on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
The New York Knicks, are they going to move up and make a play for Jaden Ivey?
I think it's a moral imperative that they move up. Right now, there has to be serious questions about this brain trust with the fan base. They followed up a 4 seed with an awful offseason that led to them having an awful season. And now you go into this year with the 11th overall pick, not any kind of a place to be as far as improving this team is concerned. There isn't a lot they can do in the offseason, but if they look at Ivy as a guy that not only is transcending, but also a position they haven't had in decades, then you have to make every effort to move up. And everybody but Barrett has to be on the table.
The Michael Kay Show.
How many times are you going to kick the can down the road?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Great question by Don LaGreca. The great Don LaGreca. Peter and Don on the K Show, giving away more Beach Bash VIPs in a little bit. By the way, big shout out to Sue, the great Sue Kundari from WWE, who is like my Don, I don't know if you have a person maybe with the Rangers. Like, Sue is the person at WWE who handles, like, everything for everyone. She's, like, the glue of the entire company. And for me personally, she just makes my life so much better, handles everything that I ever need for travel, and then has to deal with so many more important things than that, but still is amazing. So she's watching the program. Shout out to you, Sue. And I appreciate the wishes. Appreciate all the well wishes. Don, did you see the video that a listener posted of a couple? It's a listener couple.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting down to watch the news yesterday and seeing them cheer when I announced the engagement.
I did see that. And I was so proud of the show and what we do that something personal can happen to one of us and our listeners, and this is why we consider you guys family, can react like that. If you watch that video, and I'm sure you know you've retweeted it, I've liked it, so you could probably look on our timelines and find it.
Yep.
That's why we consider you guys family, because that's the way we reacted when we heard Peter was engaged, and I'm sure that's the way his family reacted. And so to get listeners to do that too was very, very cool.
Yeah, that actually made my day.
And on that note, we got a tweet earlier today from Shay Lynn from Staten Island, who said, "Hey, TMKS ESPN, today is my birthday. I would love to hear you guys wish me a happy birthday. I would also love to hear some Freddie Kitchens wish me a happy birthday."
Dom, you said the lady's name is what?
Shay Lynn.
Shay Lynn, and where's she from?
From Staten Island.
So what you're saying to me is, it's Shay Lynn from Shaolin. You realize that? Because a lot of people don't know this about Kiki. I love me the Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang is for the Kiki. Shaylin from Shaolin, happy birthday. And if you ever make me come visit you on Staten Island, I'm okay.
That was well done. What a great job. So happy birthday, Shaylin from Shaolin.
Shaylin from Shaolin. I wonder if she said that before. I really hope.
I hope so.
I hope that wasn't the first time you've heard Shaylin from Shaolin, because that's pretty mage. Everything's on the table. At 5:30, Donald, I need to get your breakdown of what happened in the Stanley Cup last night.
Yes, I'm looking forward to doing that.
All right, because the people want to know. You were the excitement with which you were texting us last night. I mean, if I was Michael Kay, I'd say it sounded like you were in the nude.
No, but when you see something you've never seen before, when you're a 54-year-old man and you've spent 50 of those years watching sports and you've seen something you've never, ever seen before, and then get a reaction that just drove me up a wall from the coach that lost the game in John Cooper. Oh, I got lots to say. Come up at 5:30. I do want to address Tristan, who was on just before.
Yes, who's on off the Bubonge.
Listen, I understand. Listen, sometimes what you do, sometimes they drink the bong water.
Yeah, right, right.
Sometimes what I think he did is he put the bong water in his mouth, swished it around, then spit it into actual tobacco and then smoked that. If this team won 130 games, Peter, it would be better than the 98 team. I know the 98 team is looked upon as amazing because it was when you grew up and it was the first great team you ever saw play and all. If this team won 130 games, Peter, it would be better than the 98 team. Now, they're not going to do it, but stop. If this team puts up the numbers that they're putting up, don't tell me, oh, well, the 98 team was better because they had Mo. Okay, they had Mo. But how do we know that the players that might be a part of this historic team, we're not going to look back at the same way we look back at the Jeters and the Posadas and the Williams and the O'Neills and all that? So, believe me, I don't think it's going to happen, but this whole idea that there'll never be another 98 team, well, this team looks like they might be challenging it.
Don, by the way, we haven't heard from any Yankee curmudgeons today.
No.
And I'm a little upset because remember
work
yesterday?
Work was done.
Yeah, yesterday I said from now on I want to be able to crown a Yankees curmudgeon of the day, curmudgeon caller of the day, and I'm told the production for it is some of the best work ever done on the show.
But we're going to save it for when we actually need it.
I know. I can't do it until an actual Yankee curmudgeon calls. So We'll get to that. And, of course, all of your calls on the NBA draft, which you can hear right here on 98.7 coming up at 7 p.m. But let's go to our guy Pushkar in D.C. What's up, Pushkar?
What's up?
Push.
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Don't push me.
Okay.
Because I'm close to the edge.
Right. Pushkar.
All right. Sorry, Pushkar. Let's go to Charles in Brooklyn. What up, Charles?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
What's up, Charles?
Hey. I'm a first-time caller. Love the show. Just calling to give you guys some good news. I know you always joke around about people calling in claiming they've been a Yankee fan for a really long time. But I believe my grandmother is the oldest living diehard Yankee fan who will be at the game tonight. She was born in 1922, and she's been a Yankee fan since she was 16 years old. She's still completely with it, so she can tell you about all the old-timers, like, you know, like they're still around. And she's such a diehard Yankee fan that she cannot watch the games live because she gets nervous that they're going to lose. So if they win, she'll watch the replay the following day on the YES Network. But we finally convinced her to go to a game, and we're taking her tonight. So we're really excited. I just wanted to share with you guys.
You know what we got to do? Charles, why don't you give us – do you know what section you're in?
Yeah, we're going to be in 228 in the handicap section.
228 in the handicap section. Because what I can do is I'll reach out to Michael or maybe the guys at YES.
Oh, they'll love that.
Let the people know that are at the ballpark to get that section, and then maybe Michael can give you a shout-out, and maybe the cameras can show her on television, because that's a tremendous story. 100 years old, Yankee fan her entire life since she was 16, so that takes us to 1938. So of the guys at YES, I mean, maybe we can text or whatever, make sure, 228 handicap section,
I believe it's disabled section, and what's her name, by the way?
Her name is Fortune.
Fortune.
Nice.
What's her last name?
Manopla.
Fortune Manopla. 100
That's right.
years young. And when was the last time she went to an actual game?
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea. It's been a long time.
Wow.
Well, we're going to try. We're going to make every effort to get you guys on television tonight.
Yeah, record
TV.
DVR it. Don't say anything to her, and we'll see what happens.
You got it. Thank you, guys. She would love that. I appreciate it.
All right. Later, man. Wow, that's very, very cool.
So disabled section 228.
There you go, 228. And Fortune.
That's a great name.
She could be a rapper. Let's go to Nick in New Jersey. He wants to talk about Kevin Durant. What up, Nick?
Rosenberg, what's up, my man? It's Nick Brooks.
Nick.
Hey, man, I wanted to run by you. I remember you guys were talking about KD earlier on, and you know, the whole saga that's been going on with Kyrie ever since Woj dropped those tweets with that preferred list. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion, man. Do you really think that Kyrie is going to pass up on $30 million to join a team like that does not have the cap space for him, like the Lakers, Clippers, whoever the case may be? Because Windhorst said this morning on First Take, he said, look, Kyrie can get $30 million elsewhere, but it's going to be in a place like Indiana or Detroit, or, you know, something like that. A team that's not as glamorous. So I want both of your guys' opinion on, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, Peter, I think what Kyrie's hoping for is that there's going to be a sign and trade and that he can end up with one of the teams he wants to end up with that will develop the cap space to be able to fit him in there. Because he doesn't want to have to go settle and have to sign someplace like Sacramento or, you know, to a team that's in a tough situation. I think that's what he's hoping for.
It's interesting, too. I can't even call it with Kyrie. I mean, you would think he's not a guy who wants to play in a small market, right? But he won a championship in Cleveland.
Right.
Now, granted, LeBron was there. It didn't feel like a small market at the time.
No, it wasn't.
But he's been in two of the top five biggest markets possible in Boston and Brooklyn. And neither meant a thing with regard to him seemingly wanting to play, if you will. So, I don't know that you can assume that it wouldn't be able to work for him in a random place like Sacramento, because you can't even be sure it will work for him in a big market.
Yeah, but all the teams that he listed there, if they don't have to give up, like the Lakers would be different if they had to give up
AD, right? But, you know, if he goes to the Clippers, he goes to the Mavericks, I mean, those teams are competing for a championship. Why do I feel like the Knicks, him throwing the Knicks in is him kind of trolling?
Feels
is that
like
fair?
That. Yeah, it's certainly in bounds.
Because it doesn't seem like the Nets would make a deal with the Knicks. Is there anything the Knicks have that the Nets really want? Would it make sense for the Nets to trade him to a rival like that? It almost feels like I'm just going to throw the Knicks in to kind of troll. But all the other places, he goes there. Even if Davis came back to the Nets with Kyrie replacing Davis, and if Kyrie was committed to play the entire season, you could make a case that's a wash because AD is somebody that gets hurt a lot. To play with LeBron, they would have a chance at a championship. Dallas certainly would have a chance at a championship. They almost won it this year. Clippers?
There are plenty of places where he could right away be involved in some real basketball. But again, Don, that was an option here. And I can't say it's just hard to – how do you believe in the guy's motivation? Not only did he play 29 games last year, but, of course, you had the vaccine situation. But, Don, in 2020, he missed games.
No, he misses games.
The way things ended in Boston, a disaster. When he plays, he's literally one of the best to ever do it. He's insane. I said this on the morning show today. And Don, I think this is really how I feel about Kyrie. I think he's a good person. I think he's a tremendous basketball player. I think that he is a diverse person when it comes to his interests and cares about other things outside of basketball quite a bit, some of which even more than basketball. And as a human being, that is an awesome trait. But if you run a basketball team and all of your decisions are driven by basketball, Don, with everything I just said, it doesn't amount up to you wanting him on your team.
Here's the thing about Kyrie, and everybody thinks that you can't say it. You can't say he doesn't love basketball. I'm not saying he doesn't love basketball. But does he love it enough to where he makes it a priority? I'm not going to give the names because it was said to me in confidence. There was a hockey player that told me about another hockey player that's in the Hall of Fame and said, imagine how good he would be if he loved the game.
Mm.
And I was blown away by it. I don't want to give the name because, again, it was told to me in confidence. But that tells you that sometimes players are great, but they really don't love it. And Kyrie will deny and say, I love it. Yeah, but there's other things that get in the way. So do you really love it enough like everybody else? Do you love it to the point where you feel like you're willing to make every sacrifice to play 82 games? Do you love it enough to say, you know what? Social justice is important to me, but you know what? So is basketball, so I'm going to have to try to find a way to juggle both like LeBron does. So, yeah, he might love basketball, Peter, but does he really love it? And does he love it enough that he can focus himself to play 82 games? Or at least, you know, 82 might be too strong in this day and age, but you know what I mean, where other things don't seem to get in the way. Am I wrong to question his love of the sport? I don't think I am. But it's almost become taboo to do that.
Which is, by the way, is silly because it's not a moral judgment. It's not saying he's a bad person because it doesn't seem like he's obsessively in love with the game. In fact, I'd argue it could mean he's a good person, maybe a better person. But it just doesn't mean that he's in love with the game of basketball. Listen, there are some people, guys, we know, they literally, it's all they care about. And there are other people who really enjoy it and show up to do it when they can.
You could make the case that sometimes they love it too much.
Sure. Especially with regard to them being a normal, good person, a healthy person,
right.
Someone who cares for their family properly.
Yeah. And
but
maybe
in Kyrie's case, it's like all of these decisions to not play. Remember, didn't he just become a dad like 5 minutes ago?
Oh, yeah.
So most of the reasons that you would really think that would prevent you from being able to be, let's say, 100% committed, and you get down to maybe 90% if you're a really serious athlete, is family. But he's just getting to that stage in his life. So what's that going to be like? And again, none of this is a moral judgment on the man.
No.
It's just about basketball decisions. And
well, you're making this is a colossal decision that's going to be made by one of these teams to trade for him, and even a bigger one to give him a long-term contract. And these are the things you have to address.
But there are teams out there that I like it for. You know, there are teams like the Lakers taking a shot at it, I don't hate. I don't hate. Because yeah. You have faith that, you know, Kyrie has said recently that him and LeBron have remained close. You'd have to imagine his respect level for LeBron if they're still cool. Because we know they've had their ups and downs. But if they're cool all these years later, you have to imagine there'd be a lot of mutual respect. And being around LeBron, with all due respect, is not the same as being around KD.
See, that's the, I was just going to say
LeBron runs
that.
A different ship. That yeah, is for sure. Yeah.
Well, because he runs the ship. I mean, as great as KD is, you know, he's not going to get in your face, at least from what I can see, the way LeBron would. LeBron's not going to tolerate KD's antics, and that's why they didn't really get along. But in a year where he's still going to have to get a contract, maybe you do get that 1 year where he plays every game and wants to shove it up LeBron's you-know-what. Because as we said yesterday, as good as LeBron is, Kyrie might be his equal at this point in their career.
I interviewed Amon Shumpert again last week.
Okay.
Who, by the way, Don, we got to get him on the show sometime, on this show. He is such a good interview. You know how some guys are like good players but just incredible interviews?
Yeah, apparently he shares the same first name as
Emmanuel Quickly. We really didn't give enough time. To
no, we, listen, I didn't. I missed Omar.
So Omar went with Iman Quickly. Only called him Iman Quickly. Never called him Emmanuel. I said during the commercial to Andrew, I'm like, did I miss something?
Yeah, I thought maybe
Emmanuel Quickly become Iman.
Yeah, he pulled the Clint Frazier or something.
Yeah, no. He said no, that's not a thing. And then he called Jaden Ivory.
Yes, like ivory soap.
It was quite a moment.
You know what? I love Omar, and I didn't want to step on his toes there. Let him have some fun. We hadn't heard from him. I mean, it's clearly the Bills crippled him emotionally.
No, but by the way, though, he needs to step up. It wasn't his best performance.
No, because I still think he's recovering.
He's in
Bills recovery.
that hurt. All right, let's get to so many phone calls here on the Nets. I mean, I'm sorry, on the Nets, the Knicks, the draft, the Yankees, including John, who we'll get to after the break, who says he wants to be the Yankee curmudgeon caller of the day.
Really?
He's aiming for it.
Oh,
so,
wow, we're taking requests now.
Yeah, apparently so. We'll see how that works out. Plus, Don's going to break down his thoughts on last night's crazy ending in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm giving away Beach Bash VIP tickets. It's Peter and Don on the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN, and yes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
About to get into this Beach Bash giveaway. Before that, some diamond notes brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Trust me, I know how important it is to come up with a fantastic ring situation.
Sure.
The right ring. Not everything went perfect, Don, in my proposal. Not everything went perfect.
I know.
There were some errors. But guess what? When the ring is a scorcher, everything's all right.
That's what's going to be remembered.
You remember, you deliver on the ring. Just don't get the ring wrong. And listen, even there are people who've gotten it wrong, and the woman just loves you and says, hey, don't worry, we'll fix it up later. But if you can deliver on the ring, trust me, just head over to 2x London. Anyways, Don.
Did you go by that 2 month salary garbage?
How do I say this in a way that's not obnoxious? That would not be a feasible thing to do.
Oh, that's, I'm just, good for you.
Now, if, wow. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm 42 years old. I've been at this thing for a long time. I work three different jobs every month.
Right.
So could I pick one? Like, yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe one. But let's not get crazy
she
here.
She doesn't need a Super Bowl ring, okay? Good for you.
No, no.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
No,
to
no.
You.
Please, please,
I
please.
I just
it's a joke I made with her. I was like, hey, do you really want me to do that? I don't know if it's great for our future. I think this is probably money better spent somewhere else. But I did. Shout out to my buddy Greg Yuna, who's a great jeweler who I've been friends with for a long time, and he actually knows Natalie quite well. Mm. He put me in touch with a gentleman named Avi. I went to 47th Street. I was on 47th Street, Don, living that life. I remember the first day I was there, I was like, here I am, back on 47th Street. Didn't think this was going to happen again.
Well, I'm so happy for you.
I'm very, very happy. Feeling good. And you know what's great? Our dear friends Anthony and Dana are getting married this weekend. Tomorrow I'll be doing the show from Jersey City.
Okay.
Because the rehearsal dinner is immediately after the show tomorrow. So I got to do the show down there. And, yeah, I'm so excited to be able to go with us now being engaged. It just makes the wedding that much more fun. Like, it's a...
That is so cool.
It's a double celebration. Let's go. Where it is Diamond Notes, so let's go to John in Smithtown. What's
yeah,
up, John?
Let's hear this.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Long-time fan, long-time caller. So, for my take, you know, this Clay Holmes guy, he's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
But I think you got to keep Chapman as a closer once he gets back. I mean, he's a proven guy who's won a World Series. And I don't think you can take that role away from him, especially when you even, you know, what do you do that was so bad in the beginning of the season?
There are times over not just this season but last season where he's needed a caddy in the bullpen. And what I mean is while he's getting the save, Boone's got to have somebody up because at any moment there could be a meltdown. You're right. He had not blown a save. But, John, I don't think you're on scholarship as a closer. San Francisco Giants won three championships in a six-year span with three different closers. Sometimes they lose it. And if Holmes is the better guy, then he's your closer. Peter, you just can't get the guy back his closing position because he won a championship 6 years ago.
No.
That he was a great closer a couple of years ago. Guys had some control issues. They've had to back him up when he's been in games. There have been meltdowns. There were blown saves last year. And if Holmes is better, then he wins the job. I don't care what you did in the past. It means nothing. By the way, remember I mentioned when we were talking about Scherzer being in Binghamton the other day?
Yeah.
And I said,
Rumble Ponies. Yeah, sure.
How about maybe the Patriots will have a Yankee on rehab and I'll get to go to the game? Bang. Tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Saturday. Tickets. Family. Already bought the tickets months ago. Guess who's on rehab assignment this weekend in Somerset?
Go ahead.
Aroldis Chapman.
I was about to say it. There you go.
So maybe I'll get a chance to see him.
That is pretty cool.
Okay.
That was a terrible
attempt
at curmudgeon caller of the day.
He doesn't know what it means.
Yeah.
We're not saying complain. We're talking about just some way out there. The Yankees weren't as good. This Yankee team is not as good as the one of my day. Complaints that would have made sense 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's not going to come. The winner is not going to come from someone who's trying to win. Yeah,
exactly. Trying too hard, bro.
You can't try for this.
Because part of being a curmudgeon is not knowing you are.
So true. Let's go to Darian in Bloomfield. What's up, Darian?
Love that name. Good name.
Hey, what's going on, Pete? Don, how's it going, man?
What's up?
Hey, first of all, a couple of things. Pete, congratulations. I've been a fan of yours on the morning show for years, man. Congratulations on a new engagement.
Thank you, dude.
Don, I know you mentioned Somerset. I used to work for Somerset Patriots for 10 years. So if Bri and Pat hear this, shouts out to them.
Okay.
So thank you for buying those tickets. I want to talk to you guys about the Knicks. Hear me out on this trade proposal. Okay. I don't care who it goes to. Well, if we get Jaden Ivey and we get that fourth pick, you get to give up that 11th pick. You give up Fournier. You give up Randall. I'll explain why. You give up Randall. and you give up. I think Bagley said, I was reading his article yesterday, he was saying they're going to have to give up one of those young pieces. I would keep Quick. I would keep Obi. I would give up Quinn. I would give up Grimes.
Okay.
So, in that trade proposal.
So the 11th, Grimes, Randall.
Randall.
And what else?
Fournier. Fournier was never that. Never panned out with the Knicks.
No.
I like.
Wait. For four and what?
For just the four, or are you going to get something else?
Just for the four.
That's a lot. That's a lot, but, you know, if you love them, I mean, listen, it sounds like a lot, right? Really, what are you giving up? Mm-hmm. Fournier, you don't care, right?
If I mean, they hate to say it, but, yeah, Fournier is nothing.
Yeah, so Randall, but you free up a lot of salary, and now
– It's essentially Randall to jump up seven picks.
And Grimes. And the
exactly.
11, which, you know, it is
hefty.
It sounds – but you know what? If you think that this is your – point guard for the next decade. Is it really a lot?
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You know, but you don't know.
No, I have a follow-up question,
you don't,
too.
You know, but we're kind of making the assumption, and thank you for the phone call, that they love him. And if they love him, then I think that's a fair price. Now, if they're not sure, then that's a different story. But if they're hot for him, Peter, then I'll say what I said at the open of the show. Everybody's on the table except Barrett.
And I agree with you on that. And by the way, but I'll tell you what, Don, if they were absolutely head over heels for Ivy, maybe even RJ is on the table. If you're head over heels. Full bloom.
Full bloom has been ruined for me, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's disgusting. Now, Don, real quick, I want to get to this, and we'll get to more of it in ENN. But give us a little bit of your thoughts on the game last night in the Stanley Cup Finals.
No, great game. All right. Now, Lightning blow a lead in the third period. They're up 2-1. Puck goes off of Cogliano, ties the game at 2. They go to overtime. Ice is completely tilted, all Avalanche. Great play by Nazem Kadri. Cuts in, partial breakaway. Everybody watching in the building on television thinks the puck went out of play or Vasilevsky made the save. And everybody stops playing. It's over. You know, Ferraro breaks into his soliloquy, what a great play it was by Kadri. And then you start seeing the Avalanche celebrate. You know why? Because they noticed that the puck was caught up in the roof of the net in the back underneath the bar. He scored. And no one knew. No one knew. And if you look at it, Peter, no one should know. Like, it just disappeared. Didn't know if he made a save, went out of play. The crowd didn't react. None of the Avalanche reacted. They were swatting at Vasilevsky thinking he had the puck. None of the Lightning were disappointed because they thought play was going to continue. It was like, what happened to the puck? Even me telling you, when you just look at the replay, you see the puck kind of just disappear. Then when you slow it down, and Yes is now showing it, where you see clearly it went in, but in real time, the puck just kind of disappeared, and no one knew. I've never seen anything like that before. In 2010, I was in the building in Philadelphia when Kane scored the game-winning goal for the Blackhawks. At least Kane knew. So when Kane went to center ice, he's throwing his gloves up in the air. I was in the building thinking that was he being attacked by bees? What is he celebrating? But at least he knew. Peter, nobody knew.
I'm trying to see how the Avalanche figured it out.
They eventually did. There it is. It's just behind the net. Now, what happens? All right, so the game's over. Avalanche win, up 3-1. Analyze it. Leave the ice. Then it was discovered, and this happened to the Islanders last year, ironically enough, against the Lightning, that the Lightning had too many men on the ice for one of their game-winning goals against the Islanders in the play. I believe it was in Game 7.
Is that right?
And that there were 6 Avalanche, and there should have been too many men on the ice. But it was way after the fact. It didn't involve the play. If it was caught, it would have been a penalty, but nobody saw it. It happens, okay? Tough break. Listen to John Cooper, the coach of the Lightning, after the game.
It's funny because
you know, you're an emotional game, and I.
This one's going to sting much more than others, just because I think it was taken on. It was potentially. I don't know. It's hard for me. This is going to be hard for me to speak. I'm going to have to speak. I'll speak with you tomorrow. You're going to see what I mean when you see the winning goal. And my heart breaks for the players because we probably still should be playing. I'll be available tomorrow.
Oh, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. You were completely outplayed in overtime. Outshot 10-3. Oh, and by the way, you're still alive. You didn't lose the series yet. Peter, I've seen coaches get mad. I've seen coaches go after officials. I've never seen a guy almost cry who's won back-to-back cups, by the way. They're still alive in the series. And you beat the Islanders on the same play last year. Not to mention the fact they circumvented the cup the last couple of years. Give me a break, Cooper. Give me a break. And this is coming from a guy who thinks he's the best coach in sports right now. But, Peter, did you ever see? He almost broke down. His team's still in it. What kind of motivation is that? If I'm one of the players on the Lightning, I'm getting on the plane. I got to console my coach. You got outplayed in overtime. You lost the game. Legit lost. You're down 3-1 in the series. But guess what? There's still a game in Denver tomorrow. Suck it up and play. I couldn't even see it if they lost the series, Peter. But they didn't lose the series. What are you doing? Come on, man.
Well, it looks like a pretty clear offside call, though, no?
Not offside. Too many men on the ice.
I mean, too many men on the ice. It's pretty – like, it's how – I'm trying to count the number.
Oh, yeah. He's right. He didn't know it at the time. He found out afterward after somebody took a screenshot and saw there was extra player on the ice. But I said the same thing happened against the Islanders with too many Lightning on the ice. It happens. But get mad. We didn't even play the whole thing, Peter, where he's talking about, I love this league. I love this sport.
Come on.
I think everybody tries their best. But then he breaks into – he sounds like he's about to cry. Peter, get mad. If you want to get mad, flip the table over. All right, fine, but don't break down like you were robbed. Well, the better team won the game. The better team's up 3-1 in the series, and you're still alive.
But also, too many players on the ice is such a – in this situation, Don, where the last player's, like, running to jump over the boards, it's not actually impacting the play. It is a rule. It is a rule, of course. But don't act like what happened – the fact that that happened is why you lost the game. It's not.
Did you see Gerard Gallant like almost break down when the heel goal was taken off the board in game one? Like that was a debate. That was a play that was something that affected the goal. Like, but this is something that didn't affect it. Yes, if Wes McCauley or Kelly Sutherland had seen it, it would have been a penalty on the Avalanche. The game would have continued. The Lightning would have gotten the power play. And who knows, maybe they would have won the game. So I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to complain about it, but to almost break down and cry? Oh, and by the way, he apologized today. Let's listen.
It's funny because, you know, you're an emotional game, and I find it odd that they got that wide open in the play, but there's nothing you can really... You know, from our angle, the bench and the reviewing, like whether the puck's in the net. So the only way I can find out is I have to go back in the room and look at the tape. So you do, and then you have to face all of you 5 minutes after an emotional loss. And so I apologize, you know, for last night, because that's what you get when you have to speak to the media right away. What's great about today is that it's not yesterday. And now we're going to get some excitement for game five. And that's where, like,
I can't deal with what's great about today is that it's not yesterday. By the way, Don, Bowen Byram, is that how you say his name?
Bo Byron
is the guy. He came flying in at the end and is finally the Avalanche player who noticed the puck tucked in the goal and told everyone else.
Yeah, it's Bowen Byram, but they call him Bo. But, yeah, that was way after the fact.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I felt – you know who I felt terrible for? I felt so bad for Sean McDonough. Because that would have been a great call, and he never got to make it. How could he know?
Well,
the light never went on. None of the players reacted. You're so high up in Tampa, you can't kill him for it. It stinks for him.
No, and the kid who shot the puck didn't know. So if the guy who hits the shot has no idea, how can you possibly know? Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm giving away Beach Bash VIPs, ENN at 6, Peter and Don on the K Show. And Yes, in 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.